I want to welcome each of you this morning. It's good to gather together. A question for you before we get into the message. What do you want right now? What is the thing that you most want? We're at the beginning of 2020, and I think it's good for us to do some thinking, and one of the things I think is good for us to consider here is what do I really want? You know, we laugh and we joke and we say the fool keeps doing the same thing over and over and thinking that he's going to get different results. So at the beginning of this year, are we going to keep doing the same thing over and over and hope for different results? Or are we looking for something that will be of benefit to us, that will have a different result than what we've been getting? To us, made them available for us in Jesus Christ. And then he offers a prayer for us, and he says, I pray that you might know, and that is that your eyes would be open, that you would understand these things, that you might know the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, and the almighty power that he has available for us in Christ. So that's the prayer that he offers there for us, as well as the church at Ephesus. Then in chapter 2, he comes along and he reminds us that we were dead in trespasses and sin. And he reminds us, And this word comes up often in these first three chapters. There's several words that come up often. The word riches comes up often. The word grace comes up often. The word according to comes up often. may dwell in your hearts by faith. The third thing is that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now pay attention to what he says here. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Him that is able to do exceeding above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, what are riches in Christ? What are riches in Christ? Can you describe them? Can you describe the riches in Christ? They're unsearchable, but Paul described them, a number of them already for us here in the book of Ephesians. In the first chapter, name some things that are riches in Christ that we have. Okay, peace. In the first chapter, peace, we have peace with God, but there's things that relate to us that are the riches in Christ. We have an inheritance in the saints. We can have the greatness of his power. He's called us. He's chosen us. He's adopted us into his family. He's given to us his riches in Jesus Christ. So the riches that he's talking about here, he's talked to us about the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. He's talked about all of these riches prior to this chapter. So let's ask ourselves also, where do these riches come from? All of these riches that Paul has described, where do they come from? From Jesus Christ, from the Father, through Christ, in Christ. All of these riches are there. You can look anywhere else. You can fight and fuss and stew and do anything else that you want to do, but you're not going to find those riches anywhere else. They're only there. And so if we want those riches, where are we going to have to come? To the Father, to Christ. That's where we're going to have to come if we want those riches. Now, who can have those riches? God made them available before the world was formed, before you and I were born or anyone was born. So does that mean that everyone has those riches? Okay, but we got to back up a minute here. Who can have them? Everyone can have them. They're available for all. God's riches. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and come to Jesus Christ, right? So how do we obtain them? If they're available to all, but not all have them, how do we obtain these riches? How can they be ours? By coming to Christ. By coming in faith to Jesus Christ and trusting him as the one who has shed his blood for our redemption, for the forgiveness of our sins, and who offers to us the riches that he has, that the Father has placed in his hands. Okay? Now, here's a little bit harder question. So, Paul prayed in chapter 1 that we would know the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, and the mighty power that's available to us. Now he's praying something else. So if we receive all of those things in salvation, why do we lack? Why do we find ourselves not living in all of those riches? Why do we find ourselves living as orphans when we've been adopted? Why do we find ourselves living in poverty when we have the riches? Why do we find ourselves there? Interesting question. I'll let you think about that. Now let's look at these. Oh, one more. Yeah. Is God's presence and God's power a reality in your life and mine today? Is my life lived in the power and the riches of God, or is my life under my control? Is my life directed by my mind and my will and my emotions, or is my life directed by Jesus Christ? A question I think that flows logically as we look at these questions. So God has made all these riches available to us. They're ours in Christ as we come by faith to Christ, to receive him, receive what God has offered to us. So let's think about these. So Paul is praying, first of all, that you might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That we would have unbelievable power. That word strengthened there has the idea of growing in strength. It's the same word that talks about Jesus, that he grew in wisdom and stature. That he was growing in strength. He became strong. That's the same word there. The word might is the word dynamite, the word that we get our word dynamite from. So he's talking about tremendous power that we can have within us. And Paul is yearning. His heart is burning with this longing that we would have this unbelievable power within us. How did Paul do the things that he did? Was Paul some guy that just, he was just this strong, superhuman kind of a guy, and he could just take all the stuff he faced and deal with it? And is that the way it was with Paul? I think we think that sometimes, don't we? He was somebody special. No. Paul was not somebody special. Yeah, God gave him some special responsibilities, some special gifts, did some special things through him. But what did Paul say about all this? He said, "In weakness, I'm made strong. When I am weak, then Christ's strength comes out in me. Christ is revealed." Now, I want us to look with each of these. There's so many scriptures we could turn to in relation to this, but I want us to just notice what Paul is praying for And I want us to look at another scripture that tells us how we can relate this to our lives. And this one is Colossians 1:11. Here he talks almost identical to what he's saying in Ephesians. He said, that you might be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all long-suffering, patience, with joyfulness. What is the one thing that you notice about Paul's life that's exceptional in all the stuff that he faces? His joy. I mean, how many people do you know or have you heard of that are thrown in prison, in stocks and bonds, and singing in the middle of the night? We have a hard time singing in the daytime when the sun's shining and we're walking around free, right? We face stuff. And Paul is desiring, and it's my longing, my desire for my own life, that I might be strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man. And you want to know how you can know when that's happening? Right there. What about the joyfulness? If my heart is overflowing with joy in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties, then I've been strengthened with something that's not me. Because it's natural. It is natural for all of us when we face tough stuff to get discouraged and be down in the mouth, and grumbling and complaining. So we can look at our hearts, we can look at our lives, and we can say, you know what? That was not me. Now, we do this a lot, but it's not in the right way. So we're in the middle of something, and something pops out of our mouth, and we say, I don't know where that came from. Well, yeah, it came from down in here. That's where it came from. But if in the middle of all of that, joy springs up, then we can say, yeah, I don't know where that came from. It didn't come from me. It had to come from Jesus Christ. So this I think this is something we can stop and look at our lives and have this kind of a thing there that we can do some checking. Is my life a life of joyfulness? Is joy something that happens when I get squeezed? Paul's praying that we can experience this incredible power. And this incredible power is that the circumstances of life don't control me. The situations of life don't control me. I am strengthened with might by his Spirit in my inner man. I long for that. I need that. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that Paul prayed that for me. And for you, and for each one of us. I'm always amazed when I hear stories of suffering Christians and the joy that they exhibit. It's because there's a power at work in their hearts, in their lives, that's beyond themselves. It's not something you cannot drum this up. I guarantee you. It's not this thing where you go and you're in some bad situation and so you start singing to make yourself happy. That's not what this is about. This is about God's Spirit at work in us doing something that we cannot do. He's giving us his riches. He's putting them into our lives, into our heart. Secondly, we see that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. God is pouring his riches into our lives. Christ is the life of God. And as that life is placed within us, we receive those riches. It happens by faith. Not faith in myself, not faith in anyone else. It happens by faith in Christ. I trust Christ. I trust Christ. Well, you say, well, I trusted him for salvation. You know what? I need to learn. You need to learn. All of us need to learn to trust Christ all the time. Every day, all day long. You see, our problem is we trust ourselves. And as long as we trust ourselves, we can't trust Christ. When we can trust him by faith, then he lives within us. That word dwell there is just like you live in your house. That's where you live. That's where you belong. That Christ may dwell. He might be there in your heart by faith. Again, I long for that. But I want us to notice what the purpose of that. John 17, Jesus is praying, verse 23. Father, I in them. I want to dwell in them. And you in me, so that we may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and hast loved them. You know what? When Christ dwells in my heart by faith, the world will be able to know that God loves them. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty huge. What is the biggest question that people have about God? The biggest one. Does God love me? That's the biggest question that people have across the world. Does God love me? If people can be assured and convinced that God loves them, they'll trust him. They'll turn to him. And how does the world see that God loves them? As Christ dwells in my heart by faith. I in them and you in me. Jesus said, I need this. Oh, I need this. I need the love, the life of God in Christ in me so that those around me will see that God loves them. So that those I come in contact with will be motivated to or moved to recognize that God loves them. How much do you long for that? Now, he goes on to tell us that he's praying that we might know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ here is not head knowledge. These things that he's talking, these four things that he's talking to us here, are not something that we can read in a book and get it in our mind and have it. These are things that we need to experience. These are things that God needs to grant to us. He needs to put within us. And the love, understanding the love of God, is that as well. You will not, and hear me out here, and understand me. You will not fully know the love of God simply by reading the Bible. That's where it starts. But Paul is praying here for an intimacy. He's praying for a relationship here where you and I know that we are loved. And I am convinced, I've talked about this before, I am convinced that you and I are never going to be effective as Christians in this world. We are never going to be effective until we know, relationally know, that God loves me. Do you know that today? Do you absolutely know? Not because God said so, although that's true. I'm not arguing with that. But do you know in your heart, by relationship, that God loves you? Do you feel His arms around you? Do you feel that care and protection for you? I just challenge you, if that's a struggle for you, And it's not that any of us have arrived. I'm not talking about, I've not arrived. I need to go deeper with that. But to come into God's presence and know that you are accepted by Him, and to know that He loves you, that He welcomes you. Paul says here that we may know, comprehend with all the saints the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. What I understand he's saying here is it's not something that you just know by learning. It's something that you must know by relationship. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, he says the love of Christ becomes our motivation, because we have determined that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them. That's how this love affects our lives. He says here in Ephesians in 2 Corinthians, that the love of Christ constrains us, it motivates us, it pushes us, it compels us, because we've recognized that love is so huge. And one of the things I've noticed here as I've been looking here in the book of Ephesians is how the love of Christ is such a big part of what Paul is sharing with us in the riches of Christ. I've often wondered, why do we draw back as a people? Why do we draw back from grace and love? Those are the two main things that God has done, and the ways that He works toward us. If it was not for His grace and love, none of us would have any opportunity whatsoever. It's amazing love. And that amazing love can fill us, can flow in and through us. And so Paul is praying for us. And my longing, my desire is, Lord, I want to know this love. I want that love to be more and more deeper and closer relationship with you. Is that your longing? Is that your desire today? The last of these four things is that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The Bible talks about Jesus, and it says that he was filled with all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, why is that important? I think it's important because of this very thing that Paul is praying. Do you believe that it is possible for God to pour into you his riches to the extent that you are filled with all the fullness of God? Hard to imagine, isn't it? Do you think it's possible? If it's not possible, why does Paul pray for it? I think that the reason Jesus Christ was filled with all the fullness of the Godhead bodily was because he could show to us that it is possible for a man to be filled with all the fullness of the Godhead. Now, we have sin to contend with. I realize that. We have our old self and all of that that we work with. But as we dwell in Christ in faith, and he dwells in our hearts by faith, that can become more and more a reality in our lives. Do you long? Is that one of your longings? Is that one of your desires? Is that something that you want more than anything else in this coming year, to be filled with the fullness of God? To be filled with the fullness of God. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all. I want us to pay attention to that one phrase. You are complete in him. You're complete in him. As we dwell in Christ and Christ dwells in us, if I abide in you and you abide in me, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Why? Because if he abides in us and we abide in him, then we want what he wants. And it'll be done. Our longings, our desires, our will is in alignment with his. It's in agreement with him. And he is able to do that. So I love this, how Paul prays these four things for me, for you, that we can be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ can dwell in our hearts by faith, that we can be rooted and grounded in love, we can know the love of Christ, and that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. I think it would be good for each of us to pray this prayer continually this coming year. God, I want to be strengthened with your might, by your Spirit in my inner man. God, I want you to dwell in my heart by faith. God, I want to know your love. I want that relationship with you, that love relationship, where I long to be in your presence and I live in your presence. God, I want to be filled with all the fullness of you. I want to be emptied of myself. I want to be filled with all the fullness of you. Now, Paul closes this section with these verses that are somewhat familiar to us. Now unto him, we often use this as a doxology, a dismissal. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's according to God's power working in us that this is to come about. Now, I want to just break this down just a moment, just for us to think about. If you were to go to God and ask Him for all that you could ask Him, when could you stop asking? When would you run out of things to ask? All that we can ask or think. You got a big imagination? You got a lot of wants? So he starts out saying, all that we could ask or think. But then he says, above all that we could ask or think. So he raises the bar quite a bit. So here's all that we could ask or think. So we take that individually, we take that collectively, we put it all together, and here's all that we can ask or think. But he says God's able to do above all that we ask or think. And then he says it's not just that he's just above this, but he's abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And then it's not just abundantly above all that we could ask or think, but he multiplies it again, and then he says, exceeding abundantly. You get the picture? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. He is able to, that's why Paul was asking this of him. That's why he was praying this. He wasn't just going through some form, some ritual. He was talking to the one that's able to do this. And I'm just so blessed as I look at all of this and look at all of these riches that he's made available in Christ. And then how he takes those riches that are available there and he starts to work them in our hearts, in our lives, for his glory, by his grace. Pray this for yourself. Pray this over others. Paul prayed this over us. Pray this over others that they might know the love of Christ. I think that's a good prayer to pray for someone. When we're praying, I'm talking about when we're praying out loud over them. Pray that they might know the love of Christ and be filled with the fullness of God, strengthened with might by his power in the inner man, and rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ by faith. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the wonderful way that you worked in Paul to transform his life, to make him a man that you could use, that you could fill, that you could empower, that knew your love. And Lord, I confess my neediness before you today and my longing, God, that you would do that in my heart as well. Strengthen me by your might, by your spirit in my inner man. May Christ dwell in my heart by faith. May I know the love of Christ. May I be filled with all the fullness of God. And I pray that over each of us today that are trusting you. God, I just pray that you move among us exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we bless your name. We pray as we gather and eat together and as we sing together that you would bless our time. Those that go to the jail, I pray that you just minister by your spirit through them. To move hearts, that they might be able to show your love and be filled with joy, Lord, as they go there. We thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, amen.